Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning and welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtables. I'm Dr. Bessie Fletcher. I'm your host with mothers and daughters around the world. Literally, I like to say that. Literally around the world. We reach mothers and daughters, you know, with the internet, it's all over. So it gives us a wonderful opportunity to put information out, and hopefully it is received by mothers and daughters around the world. Somebody somewhere picking up on it. I can tell when every once in a while I look at the stats and see the different places that mothers and daughters tune in, find us by, maybe they think accident, I say spiritually led, to hear the message that maybe, well, not maybe, that's pertaining to them. That's why they was led to it. So, again, good morning, and I want to thank my co-hosts. It's so amazing to have two people that walk the journey with you and two people that you can depend on and two people that you like, and, you know, it just absolutely makes a good ingredients for a good recipe, and I wouldn't change anything about either one of them. So I just thank God this morning that we have the synergy and the energy and the love and respect for each other, that we know who we work for, and we all have the same boss, and that's God, you know, with the same supervisor, and, you know, the Holy Spirit, and the same CEO of everything, Chief Executive Officer Jesus, you know, so we know who we work for. That's why we can get along and do what we're supposed to do, because we don't look at each other as we're doing it for you. We're doing it because we know we're doing it unto the Lord. And that's our service to the kingdom, because each person got to serve for themselves. All right, so Cynthia, we have Cynthia Oliver with us this morning. We have Deborah Tyler with us. And Cynthia, I need you to click one. Good morning, Deborah. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
I am wonderful. I am wonderful. It's a beautiful day and sun's out and I feel good. Just thanking God. It's just a great day.
Amen.
Tell you the truth,
me
I got
too.
That magazine behind me, and ever since I had got the magazine out off my plate, I've been feeling lighter and lighter every day. Not
wow.
So much pressure. I'm telling you, you know, realize when you're trying to get something out, you got a deadline, you just got really a minimum of two people, three people working on it, mainly two. It's just, it's interesting. But you know what? It's out. It looks good. It's gorgeous. Mothers and daughters, go to our website, mdbn.org. That's mdbn.org. Get your free subscription. So how was your week?
My week was actually good. I tell you, it was, I was, you know, as usual when Monday come, I'm saying, oh, Jesus, my 2 days over. And, you know, and then I look up, it's Wednesday. And then when Friday got here, I was so glad to see my relief come. I heard him down the hallway. I started grabbing my bags and packing. He told me, everything all right? I said, yeah, I'm so glad to hear your voice. Like, I'm out of here
601.
Not 601. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
I'm mad at you.
I'm excited about that. Okay. We actually have march going on, so a march to the polls. Florida Restoration Right is going to have a march at 12 to go to Caleb Center in Miami. So I'm thinking about just putting on my mask and just go show my face because I'm part of that organization. So we're going to do a march to the polls, have a little music and, you know, entertainment and, you know, so just contemplating getting up and getting moving to go over there.
Oh, that's great. That's great. All right. Well, let's see. Let's see. Yeah, okay, Cynthia is here. Let's, let me click her in. Hold on 1 second, Deborah. Good morning, Cynthia.
Well, good morning, ladies. It's so good to be back. I missed you people.
Oh, wow.
Well,
I did. Well, thank you so much. Well, I miss you, audience. I miss my ladies. I just tell you, it's just not the same. My Saturday rolled around last week, and I knew I wasn't going to be here, and I've missed a couple of Saturdays now. So it's just like it's time to get back to being on the radio with my girls and talking about what the Lord has said. And so I miss you guys, and I'm so glad to be back. Thank you for having me back.
What were we going to do?
I know. Replace me, never.
Thanks for having the back. What were we going to do?
Yeah, we missed her. But tell her she missed a hot one last week, huh? You got to look that one up.
I'll have to listen to it. I'll listen to it today. I can't listen to it up on the dryer because I have to focus. But I'm going to definitely listen to it today, and I'll comment on y'all. Commentary and let y'all know what I thought about it.
Well, we appreciate that.
Well, you know that gotta get my input on it.
Okay. Yeah, but you know, it's just amazing how the Holy Spirit work is just, I'm telling you, I just love it. I cannot tell people enough about, you don't have to worry about what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, none of that. Just know that the Holy Spirit is going to speak through you if you allow him to do it. That's all you got to do.
Amen.
Give him permission. Yeah. Give him permission. And then the other thing is just ask. Ask anything you want. Divine intelligence will show up for you every time. Cannot deny.
Amen.
You. We don't
Amen.
Ask. Or we don't believe, and then we don't receive, and then we wonder what happened. But if you just follow those simple rules, ask, believe, and you're going to receive, that's it. But you got to be in that belief. You know, that's the key right there. You can do all the other. It's like baking a cake. You can put everything together, put it in the pan, got everything in there. But if you don't turn on the oven, you don't get a cake. It's not baked.
Mm.
You come back, it's hardened, just like in the same state. But you turn that oven on and turn it to the right temperature, because you know at 385, this is the temperature that I want it to bake on. Not 400, not 175, because that's where your face is at. You know if you put it there for 1 hour, that cake's going to come out just like you want it. And people can believe that. But they can't believe what God told them.
Well, you know, those who bake, they believe it. It's the ones who's not really, a cook. And a lot of people have to really stretch to believe it when they don't know the concept of baking. You understand? Because
that's,
you know,
my point. That's my point.
Yeah,
That's my point. If you don't believe in Jesus, then you ain't gonna. You know what I mean? You're not going to get it.
A baker,
they know. They put in this amount. My mother was a baker. And I mean, she was an excellent baker, and I'm not saying it because it's my mother. She didn't have a recipe. It was a pinch of this, a pinch of that. It just, and it happened every time. And people said, "Well, Pearl, can you tell me how you bake that pound cake?" She couldn't tell you. And I do the same thing with my peach cobbler. People ask me, "Well, how do you do it?" I can't tell you. It's just an automatic thing from your consciousness. You know what I mean? From the unconscious mind.
Mm-hmm.
And she could put in what she needed to do. And those yeast rolls and cinnamon rolls, people would come from all over the place just to pick those up. I'd watch her do that. She wanted me to get it. But it was never a recipe. It was just always boom, 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 boom. But she believed. And then, you know, when people tell you something good, you know, that can pump us up. Because I'm a cook. Sandy, you're a cook. I don't know how much you do for cooking. But when people eat your food and they like it, man, that's the reward right there. That's better than money. So, you know, in your mind, you believe this is going to turn out the way it's supposed to. You know, and it does because that's your faith. Faith works for good or bad, for wherever you place it. You just got to believe it. So that kind of brings us to our topic this morning, which, you know, that's the Holy Spirit driven us to this point. The topic this morning is mothers and daughters, do you believe God can heal you? Now, see, I didn't know we were going to have the faith talk prior to, but the Holy Spirit did. Mothers and daughters, do you believe God can heal you? That's what we're going to talk about today. And then we're going to leave it as an open mic, pretty much. I'm going to give a spiel, but y'all, well, I can let you all just sit back and relax, and because that's kind of where y'all write your notes and stuff and then get ready for your part. I'm going to talk a little bit about it, and then I'll come back and get you guys. Oh, I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. Cynthia, can you give us a prayer this morning?
Absolutely. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you as humble as we know how, thanking you, for this is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Father God, we thank you for the purpose and that you put within us and on our hearts and minds, and that we're determined to be about your business. We thank you, Father God, for all the things that you are purposing in us in order to get it done. We pray, Father God, for steadfastness as we have been, and we continue to ask the Holy Spirit to continue to remind us of all the things that you would have us do, that we leave nothing undone. Father, we thank you for this is the day, this is a upcoming week, and we pray, Father God, that we will be mindful of what it is that you would have us to do this week, and that we don't leave anything undone. We thank you, Father God, for you are so worthy to be praised. We thank you for everything, every blessing, every family member that you have blessed us to still be on this side of heaven. We thank and we pray for those family members who have been affected directly by this pandemic and have lost loved ones, not one, not two, but multiple loved ones. And we pray, Father God, that they will move towards you like never before, knowing, Father God, that you are the giver of life and only you can allow life to slip away or perish, if you will. And Father God, we pray for those who are still here and that we will move towards you like never before. And this is my prayer today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, ladies, let me just go ahead and do my part. I keep trying to want to bring everything together, but let's follow the format.
Okay.
I'll be right back. I'll pick you all up. Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Sometimes I just want to always just kind of like go with the flow, but that's not necessarily the way that we do it without telling people prior to. So, you know, let's give them the opportunity to think and hear what the Holy Spirit has to tell them, because he told me this morning and I still don't know what he's going to say. But I do know that the topic is, mothers and daughters, do you believe God can heal you? So many mothers and daughters are running around, pains, worries, troubled, scared to death, really want to check out, don't believe that you can live to tomorrow. Fear just gripping you. Can't sleep at night, crying, your pillows are full of tears. Scared that in the morning they're going to come and put me out of my house. They're getting ready to come and pick up my car. But yet you got this pain in your back. Or you're scared to go to the doctor because you feel like something's wrong with your body. All these things fear not. Because he knew the damage fear could do to your body. As a man thinketh, so is he. Fear will cripple your body. Fear will cause cancer, high blood pressure. Fear will cause diabetes. Anything that you can imagine, any disease that you experience, any pain in your body, came out of, was birthed out of fear. And you say, well, why would you say that, Dr. Bessie? You know, I wasn't afraid. Consciously, you may think he wasn't afraid, but somewhere along the line, fear of something, a hidden secret that you just don't want to tell nobody, is deep down inside of you. And because you have hidden that thing, it is coming up in some way or the other. Everything, he says, whatever is in the dark will come to the light. You can't hide a secret and think it's not going to affect you to telling nobody this. Me and God going to take this to my grave. And that's good to a point. But did you go to God and got it straightened out, repent from it, talk to God about it? When I say talk to God about it, don't go to God and say, you know, God, I did this and I'm so sorry and da, da, da. Okay, that's an acknowledgement. But when you really go to God and you pour your heart out to God and you tell God, you know, I did this and go through the details of it, that's releasing it from your subconscious mind. Scenario that you're leaving the root in your subconscious mind. And it will grow some fruit. And the reason that you're hiding it is because it wasn't nice. People don't hide good news. They hide things that they don't want nobody to change their thoughts on them or their impression of them. So if I tell them this, if they know this about me, they may not like me. So I dare not say anything about this. And after a while, pains, diseases, something can attack your body because you got a weak spot. And that weak spot will allow negativity to set in, negative thoughts that you're fighting back that you don't tell nobody. Down in the name of Jesus, are you stepping on it and tromping on it? And he says, what? You can walk on it, on the head of a snake, you know, Satan. You just walk on it. So, do you believe God can heal you? And I'm not talking about just healing your body. I'm talking about healing your soul. See, whatever the mind thinketh, the man, a woman. So in order to get healed, the body will do whatever the mind says. Whatever the mind produces, the body reacts to that. So a lot of times we run around and we pray and we ask God to heal so-and-so because they got cancer. God heal the cancer. God heal the this and God heal the that. God didn't create those things. But he created the soul. He created your mind. And I remember this week I was praying just for people in general, just all human beings. And it just came up in my spirit. I said, Lord, I pray for their minds. I pray that you heal their mind, which is their soul. Because once their soul is healed, their soul will align itself with your spirit. But a soul cannot align itself with the spirit because the spirit is pure, it's all love. And when your mind is tormented, when your mind is on so many things that you know that's not good, that's why he said think on things that are good, that's pleasurable. When your mind is not there, then you cannot get to his spirit. He's not going to let you come close to him with all that garbage. He's got a filter there. That's why he's got Jesus Christ. Jesus stand between us and God so that he can hear us and he can talk to us and see us from righteousness. Believe God can heal you. Let's start with your mind. Heal my mind, God. Give me righteous thoughts. Let your divine intelligence lead and guide me in the way that I think, in the way that I talk, in the way that I act, the way that I treat people, the way that I feel, fulfill your quest for me on this journey in mothers and daughters. Give me eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak according to divine intelligence. Heal my mind, Father God. And when you heal my mind, my body always aligns itself with my mind. The body doesn't have a mind. The body carries the mind. The body don't have control. The mind has control. So when you get your mind healed, which is your soul, then your body will align to that. Your body can't go running off by itself, operating on its own. It's not designed to do that. It's designed to operate according to your mind. Do you believe God can heal you? My first thought, and I'm being honest with you, my first thought was, you know, back pain, diabetes, eye problem. You know, I went to physical attacks. But just talking to you, the Holy Spirit showed me a whole different twist. He went to the mind. I didn't know he was going to say that. He went to the mind. But we talked about that earlier this week. It's so amazing. Whatever you talk with the Holy Spirit with, you know, you're thinking that's y'all's conversation, not knowing it was going to bleed over into this conversation this morning. The mind's not healed, the body's going to always have problems. The mind is not at peace when there's hidden secrets. The mind is not at peace when you're having negative thoughts about people. The mind is not at peace when you're trying to plot and plan on how you're going to get somebody. The mind is not at peace when there's jealousy and envy. The mind is not at peace when you're murmuring and complaining. The mind is not at peace when it's, oh, poor old me, why me? Well, Lord, why I couldn't do that? You know, oh, please. The mind is not at peace, and you distance yourself from the Spirit of God. Just imagine you got a child that's whining and complaining. You get up in the morning, the first thing, that child's crying and whining and complaining. You don't know what's wrong with them, and you ask, I don't know, and you, I don't know, and you can't figure it out. You just, what can you do? You're going to have to let them process. Because God gave us choices. You can choose life or death, meaning you choose to believe the word of God so that you can receive what he said. Death is when you choose to go your own way and believe everything but what God told you, and you're going to get what you believe. So fear lives on the street with death, come down Fear Street. And Fear Street has a lot of subdivisions. A lot of subdivisions. As you're going down this street, just close your eyes and imagine. One long street leading straight to hell. But there's so many sub-streets that's off of it. Cancer, diabetes, kidney problems, high blood pressure. It's got all kinds of stuff. Domestic violence, hatred. Coming down that street of fear because you've chosen death rather than to choose life. And God was so gracious to tell you, just in case if you don't know, I suggest you choose life. Because when you were walking down the streets of life, you were on Faith Street. And Faith Street have peace, joy, love, happiness, goodness, kindness, self-control. Oh, man. Harmony. All these things. These are the streets that branches off of Faith Street. You have wisdom and understanding in a coat of black. Then you go on down and you got grace and mercy. They're just side by side as you walk down Faith Street. Now, the thing about Faith Street is that every once in a while, there's a pop-up. You will look down the street and you'll think you saw something, but it really wasn't what you thought you saw. Patient of something, because fear is over in the next town. But fear appears to be as if it's over in the same town on the same street as faith. So this image pops up, and you got to make a decision. Nah, I don't believe that. Move over to another town and end up on Fear Street. No, I believe that what Jesus said came from the Father. I believe that by his stripes I'm healed. I believe that he blessed me according to his riches in glory. I believe that. I believe because I have faith in God. That's my favorite. Mark 11:22. Four words, have faith in God. When you're walking down Faith Street, you know where you're headed because you're headed straight back to the Father, to the kingdom at the end of Faith Street. It's the pearly gates. And when you get there, they will know you because you've been talking to God as you travel. Jesus watching over you, Holy Spirit guiding you and telling you, don't look back, keep going. Because if you look back, you might turn into a assault. Don't look back. He's not on Faith Street, but he's at the entrance making you think that he's inside. He roams all around to and fro. But once you enter Faith Street, he can't come in there. Just keep in mind, you are in a bubble, a circle, and everything is protected once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But you got to believe that. So many people receive Jesus Christ and then all of a sudden they backslide because they go down Faith Street and they see something and they say, oh, well, I thought I was going to be protected. I thought just that. No, you saw it and then you believed it. And that's how sickness came upon you. But if you see it and you know you're on Faith Street, don't believe it. That follow me, you you will encounter persecution. Persecution is a challenge of your mind to get you to believe something that isn't. It's false doctrine. You got to know that you know that you know that you're saved and that you're protected, and the Word of God means exactly what it says. Mothers and daughters, do you believe that God can heal you? I'm not talking about your body. Like I said, I'm talking about your mind. Because remember, 2,000 years ago, by his stripes, you were healed. So that means you are healed. Once you accept Jesus Christ, you are healed, you are protected, you are on Faith Street. Believe that. But if you ever allow your intro conversations to get twisted, and you don't know which voice that's talking to you, that's that image as you walk down Faith Street. That's that conversation, and that once you get it, your words create your thoughts, and your thoughts create a vision. Once you see that vision and you believe it, then you automatically become what you see and what you say, because you'll believe that. And it will remove you off of Faith Street. And sometimes it takes years to get back. You got to go back and be healed in your mind. You got to stay in the Word of God. That's why he said, read, read and make thyself worthy. You've got to read the Word of God. You got to talk to God every day. You got to talk to God all day long. You may sound like, this may sound like it's crazy stuff, but if you don't have a conversation with God, that you're talking to God all day, driving in your car, washing your dishes, taking your shower, eating your food, whatever you do, you are in a conversation with God. Your mind stayed on him, because if you don't, it's so easy to get persuaded to look to the left when you know over there is Fear Street and hell, a town called hell. So ask yourself, do I believe God can heal me? And whatever answer you come up with, that's what you'll receive if you believe it. I believe that my mind was healed many, many years ago. I was 5 years old when I had my first encounter with God. And I never, ever, I mean, I talked to him all day when I was a little girl. When I was driving a bus, I started driving a school bus at 14 and a half. A school bus with a busload of kids. Sounds crazy. But I got on that bus and I would pray. And I do the same prayer now. Lord, watch over me, see that no danger or harm fall upon me, and I cause no danger or harm to fall upon anyone else. And I use that same prayer when I get in my car. I use that same prayer when I get in my RV. It's just always been there with me. He gave it to me. I use it because I believe that he would do that. Not exceptional. God's been talking to each and every one of us. It's just when you're going to believe and answer. No one is more closer to God or got a better connection. You know, some pastors want to be, you know, you got to come through me to get to God. God loves everybody the same to you. A lady asked me one time, why is it that God talked to you and he doesn't talk to me? I said, he's talking to you. You're not listening. You don't recognize his voice because you haven't received him as your Lord and Savior. So the voice of God is so quiet you can't hear because you got some other voices that's dominating your soul. Can heal your soul. And when he heals your soul, everything else is taken care of. So when challenges come, you know it's just a challenge. You know it's not permanent. You know that when you're a child of God, when you talk to God all day, when you know he loves you and you know he cares about you. You can look back over your life and see the many things that God has done. Now, we can talk about the body. How many times have you cut yourself You didn't have to do anything. The skin automatically comes back together. You break a leg, yeah, you may go to the doctor and they may set it, but they can't heal it. Only God can do that. Only God can do it. The body is designed to restore itself. And if you believe that, it will. Because you're walking on Faith Street. He said, faith is the thing that moves God. So if you're on Faith Street, you're already in his hands. You're already there. You can move him just by the conversation, just by saying, God, thank you. I believe Christ is my Lord and Savior. Thank you. And I believe, give me the Holy Ghost Spirit that can talk to me and guide me, and I can ask, what a best friend you could have. That's why David said, God, no matter what you do to me, don't take your Holy Ghost Spirit away from me, because he knew he could not talk to God. See, it was only a few people could talk to God back in the day, and he was one of those chosen ones. And he knew if he took his Holy Ghost Spirit, he was a dead man walking. Dead man walking when he walked and talked with God every day. Can you imagine right now, you're a Christian, you know what I'm talking about, and you can't talk to God? I have some people come to me in counseling and they'll say, I can't hear God. I used to ask God and God would give me an answer, and now I can't hear God. I'm thinking, wow, that must be scary. I would not want to experience that. But God will get quiet on you. He'll get quiet on you. If you're not repenting and you're not listening, he will get quiet on you. But when you're ready, you let me know. Ask Job. Job was on Faith Street. Prime example. And Job was just at the gate going in. Job was way down the road on Faith Street, many years on Faith Street. But those interpretations started playing in Job's head, started giving Job doubt, fear. Well, suppose this, and suppose that. See, the enemy can project his voice to act, to appear as if he's right there with you. He's nowhere close to you as a child of God. He just projects that voice out there, and you thinking that he's right in your head doing whatever because it sounds that way. And so Job began to move closer and closer to Faith Street. He then slid all off of Faith Street, all the way into the next town over on Faith Street. A man that wavers get nothing from me. And as he wavered back and forth, one day he got stuck on Faith Street. Because, see, if he wasn't wavering, God would not allow, I believe, this is my opinion, Satan to challenge Job. But because Job was going back and forth, God said, well, okay, then I'll let you challenge him. But God knew his heart. But he knew Job still could make a decision, meaning you ain't going to go in there and just kill him. He's going to have every opportunity to walk this thing through in his mind. His soul is going to be able to process this. You're not going to kill him immediately. Let's just see. And the enemy says what? I'll make him curse you. Can God count on you like that? Can he say to Satan, I know Bessie. I know she's in my hand. Lord knows none of us want to be challenged like Job. But that's the greatest Bible when you're talking about faith and believing. And even when he was on Fear Street, when everybody came off of Hate Street, Denial Street, Curse Street, Die Street, that's what they were telling him. They were coming off of those streets, just talking to him. You need to curse God and die. Him and his wife, she was over there. Until he came to his senses and realized in his mind, God giveth, God taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he immediately transitioned back to Faith Street. And everybody knows the end of the story. All that he lost over on Fair Street was restored double when he came back to Faith Street. Because he really didn't lose anything. He just got dumped. Can you imagine? Because God is in control of the whole thing. Now, that's just my interpretation of it. Everybody's got their own. So I'm going to wrap this up now and say, mothers and daughters, let me say to you, do you believe if God can heal you? When you're asking God to heal you, don't ask him to heal you of any particular thing except your mind. Don't go with my toe hurting, my back hurting, I got a headache, had some problems with my eyes, press you up. Those are not real things when you're on Faith Street. They are your imagination. That's where they house in your imagination. But if you ask God to heal your mind, give you wisdom and understanding and the infinite intelligence to know that the Word of God is real and it is life, then you'll walk through every storm and you'll stay on your journey. And you'll end up at the gates of the kingdom where he'll say, well done, my great and faithful servant. You did it. Believed me. Bessie, come on in. Because he will know your name. Wow. All right. Cynthia? Deborah, you're
yes,
live.
Ma'am.
All right. Do you believe God can heal you? My text is what? Of so.
Well, you know I believe because, you know, my son was diagnosed with cancer. Yes, he went through the motions of of all of the physical ailments of a cancer patient. But I'll never forget what my son said to me and his girlfriend at the time, now his wife. He said, when you and Jazz don't know what to do, y'all follow me because I will not fear. And the greatest thing about that whole thing, Dr. Fletcher, is that God tells us 365 times in the Bible, one for every day of the year, do not fear. It's ironic that he gave us that verse, fear not, 365 times in the Bible. John 14:27 says this. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give you, the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled and do not be afraid. But that goes back to those secrets, Dr. Fletcher, of fear. Because when your physical body is going through aches and pains and disease, if you allow that fear to come in, it seems 10 times worse than what it really is. That's that imagination that you were talking about. Oh, the physical body goes through some stuff, and God allows it because all we got to do, as you mentioned, Joe went through the physical pain and all of the things that God allowed his body to go through, but his mind was stayed on God even when he was tempted to waver. And his friends tried to tell him that he had done something to cause himself to be in this position. We know the story. And you brought this to my attention, which I never gave thought to, that Job got in trouble and opened the door to his illness when he didn't discipline or speak into his children's lives when they were living riotous. And no matter how old you your children get, you have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to call our children on their mess. And when we are not in the Word of God, and when we are, because for our house, we will serve the Lord. And when we're living riotous and we are doing all these things, and my son was living riotous. When I didn't know he was living riotous in New York when he lived there for a year, and all the time he was in college, he became a pothead. And he was drinking every day in New York while he was performing and all of this stuff, being cool as he thought. All of that stuff played a role in his physical health with this cancer, according to the doctors. Because that was one of the first questions that he asked. Son, I need you to be honest with me. Do you smoke? Do you smoke weed? Do you drink? And he said, Mom, I got to be honest with you. See, that was the first time I heard the truth about the child that I raised and told him, don't do this and don't do that. And when he was off doing his thing in college and then living in New York, performing all the time, he was living riotous. And I never called him on his mess, but I didn't know. So when he came home, that he came home after 5 years, and I saw him. I knew he was a little depressed. I did. I saw him. And I said something to him one time about I had seen him or smelt marijuana. I smelt the fact that he had been drinking on him when he came home at night, and I smelt the marijuana, and I said something to him one time, and he told me, Mama, I'm grown. And in order to keep the peace, I didn't say anything else to him again. And I've seen my son intoxicated to the fact where he fell asleep, slumped over with his pants around his ankles that year he came home. And I never said anything. But God woke me up one night and told me, go tell him, if he don't turn around, the enemy is going to destroy him. And I kept trying to go to sleep. This is important, so really listen. I kept trying to go to sleep, and I said, okay, Daddy, I'm going to get up, I'm going to tell him. And I just kept trying to put it off. See, you don't know where death lies, so you can't be procrastinating. I'm going to tell him. No, I felt like God hit me on my hip. He said, no, get up and tell him now. And that voice, because God has he often comes to us in a still, small voice. But that particular night, I heard it as loud as I'm saying it to you guys. He said, no, get up and tell him now. And in a subconscious sleep, I found myself standing over my son, telling him, thus says the Lord. And I kept hearing myself. I wasn't fully awake, but I kept hearing myself, the bottle, the bottle, the bottle. God says, if you don't turn around, the enemy is going to destroy you. Not less than 2 weeks later, my son was diagnosed with cancer, a blood cancer that he had helped by smoking and drinking and smoking weed for 5 years and as an actor. First Corinthians 16:13, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. Romans 8:15 tell us, the spirit you receive do not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought you to the adoption of our lordship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. We have an advocate. All we have, Father, and turn from our ways. See, I didn't know all this was going on with my son. It is our secrets that keep us sick. Therefore, we are only as sick as our secrets. My son was dying. He had started to lose weight and didn't know what was going on with him until God showed it to me in a subconscious sleep. Get up and tell him now. Isaiah 54:4.
Amen.
Do not be afraid. You will not be put to shame, he said. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your early life, as you say. But it says widow here. But God is amazing, and he will tell you. He's talking to us like Dr. Fletcher said. Oh, you just ain't hearing him, because I tried to go back to sleep. so I wouldn't have to do what he told me to do, because I was trying to keep the peace with my son. And he told me one last thing, Dr. Fletcher. He told me a couple of weeks after that, and I was walking on our catwalk, and I was talking to God, and he said, what would it mean for you to save the world? The very thing that you're fighting for, you work with women in substance abuse. You'll say something to them, but you won't say something to your son? What would it mean to save the world and lose your son to the very thing you're fighting for? Thank you for allowing me to share, Dr. Fletcher.
Wow. That's powerful. Well, see, that's why he told us don't be hypocrites. You know, I can't treat my daughter differently than I treat the daughters and mothers and daughters that, you know, I can't do differently with me and my daughter and tell mothers and daughters something different, you know, when we over here out of order.
Amen.
But, but thank God you listen and thank God you heard him, because he's here today. And
amen.
I always admired the fact when he said, just follow my lead, because it was his decision to make, and every decision that going to pertain to anything to his health and his journey has to come from him, and nobody else can make those decisions for him. So that to me was the best piece of advice anybody could give. Just follow my
lead,
and you'll know. I'm going down Faith Street. Don't go jumping off and onto some side street to another town trying to pull me over there. I'm going down Faith Street, so y'all just follow me. Follow behind me. That's great. All right. Praise the Lord. Deborah.
I tell you, boy, oh, Lord, it's good to be in the house of the Lord, I tell you. And I say, I'm sitting here listening, and my sister Cynthia, I say, yeah, she's fooling. She will need to get that out. Let her go on, and she can take it on to the end. To the level. She needs to get that out. And, you know, good stuff. I'm hoping that they play it back and play it back, because you hit on something right there. I just want to just add a little note on the mind. I was doing some note writing, and I remember last week when we were talking about faith and believing and all that, and I was sharing a little illustration, ABR, ask, believe, and receive, you know, so God will heal your mind and heal the way you're thinking and heal those the issues of forgiveness. And so one of the prerequisites, like the professor say, you got to do this before you do this. So before you go to ask God to heal your mind, ask God to heal your heart. See, because in my heart, I got unforgiveness. In my heart, I'm holding something. In my heart, Lord, and some of those illnesses come from unforgiveness and come from holding stuff, you know.
Amen.
And God has said, if you just release it to me, I'll heal your mind. He said, you know, it's like you be somebody else. I can't think of how they say it. But anyway, like, for me, I remember a time that I was holding something in my mind, and then it came to me, why are you going to let people have free rent in your mind, you know, and you trying to live for Christ, and you stuck on some stuff, and people up there in your head occupying space for free, paying no rent. They sleeping at night, and you ain't sleeping. And God is saying, come to me and cast all your cares on me, because I care. He said, give me those things that's too heavy, that's weighing you down, the things of the world. He said, so I can heal your mind. Because some of that stuff in your mind is our own doing. Like I said, my biggest enemy is in me. In me is my enemy, that natural nature thing they want to fight. So the mind is having some battles that it shouldn't be having. So I'm saying, God, deliver me from me so my mind could be healed. Deliver my thinking. Deliver the things that consume space in my computer, my head, that ain't bringing no profit, that it's data that's corrupt, it's data that got a virus in it. I need to delete some of that stuff in my mind so I can be healed of my past and not allow my past to continue to torment me, saying, I remember where. Oh, yeah, you do. I remember that God said it's under their blood. I remember that he said it's in the sea of unforgiveness, you know, because the battlefield is right between your ears. And so every day is a renewing of the mind. He said renewing, continuation, ing. It's like you got past yesterday, your mind was good, but you woke up this morning and some thoughts came on your mind that you let stay there too long. Now you got to plead the blood on that. It's a constant thing. Lord, touch me, touch my heart, cleanse my mind, free me of those thoughts that keep coming back that's not like you. How do you get your mind clean? You got to read the word. You got to pray and fast and meditate. I remember when I first got saved, I had to make a transition from being the most popular and all that other stuff, just fill in the blank. I was all that. And so now I got to just stop thinking like I was all that. And I had a proud spirit. So I asked God to teach me how to be humble and be meek. Not weak where people walk on me, but meekness and humble. And don't have to have the last word and think positive thoughts and think of other people, esteem other people higher than myself. And so in the mind, it was challenging because I'm coming from one world where I was all that till I'm coming to God and saying, I'm just a servant and I wish to serve you and I want to live for you. I don't take no place and no status in you, God. And so I had to read the word. I had to meditate on it. I had to be careful what I put into the computer and the data that I saved. And I had to delete some stuff. So there's some stuff that got to come out of my mind. But ask God to help you delete your computer of things that's corrupt. Clear the mind. Because the battlefield is there. And so I believe that in order to be healed, we got to first ask for forgiveness, you know, for our sins and forgiveness of others. And then A, ask, believe, and we receive. You receive the healing in the mind. But once God heals us, we got to continue to stay healed. We can't go back and going back to our vomit where he delivered us from. He said, I delivered you from that. It's like your vomit. That's like your throw up. Like who goes back to their throw up? You know what I mean? It's an ugly scenario, but that's what the word says about the vomit. And so every time, you know, the mind try to go back, no, I've been delivered of that. No, I plead the blood on that. Oh, no, I will not have unwholesome thoughts. It's a process. Every day you got to be renewing. Lord, help my mind. Ooh, Jesus, help my mind. Ooh, Lord, Jesus, help my mind. Renew my mind. Heal my mind, Lord. And so I believe that it starts with cleansing it by asking for forgiveness and ask God, believe, and you'll receive. And so while you're waiting on the B, because the art is way down the street, you got to keep on believing. Even when the enemy comes say, you ain't never going to be nothing. You ain't going to never get over that. You ain't going to never stop having your pickle broke. You got the wrong pickle. You keep picking and attracting things that keep coming to your life that don't mean no good. You got the wrong pickle. Don't believe what the enemy say. God said, it is done. It is finished. He already did it for you. He said, wait until you get in position to receive it. Now you on the B, he said, get in position for the R. It might not be overnight, but it's coming. Do you believe that I can heal your mind? Do you believe that the blood cleanses your mind? Do you believe it? You say, so continue to believe and you'll receive that your mind is healed, that you ain't crazy. You ain't got to go to the crazy house and take crazy medication, that you ain't got to be talking to the kids all out the side of your neck and saying things that's not pleasing, wholesome to the ears of God. You ain't got to be acting like, you ain't got to act. God got you. You say, follow my lead, follow me, and I got you. So do you believe me? Do you believe that I'm able to do the thing that you ask me for? Or are you coming to me like the oceans and the waves go wavering like that? You come, you get nothing because you're unstable. He said, come to me and believe. How you believe? You read the word. You read it over and over till it gets into you. Like we see the news. We see the news one time, we believe they're guilty. We see them two times, oh, they're going to get the death shell. Oh, they did it. Why? Because we kept hearing it, and now we start believing. So the word go like that. You got to hear it, and you're going to start to believe. It's going to attach to you. But you just can't read it one time and say, oh, I read the whole Bible and I ain't getting nothing. You read the Bible. You didn't meditate on the Bible. You didn't study the Bible. Because everything you need is in there from cover to cover. He said, do you believe that I'm able to do that thing? I'm able to heal your mind. I'm able to deliver you from thoughts that's not like you. Behavior that's not like you. Behavior that's not Christ-like. Do you think that I'm able to heal your child and deliver your child? Do you think that I'm able? Do you believe that I'm able? It's about your belief. If you can get on the B and believe the B, the R coming. Thank you. God bless
you. Amen. All right.
Woo! Cometh on R.
I believe, so I'm definitely going to receive. I just matter that the people
lose their
way because they get talked out of things in the waiting. It's in the waiting where your faith really shows up. You'll know. God will know if you really believe, because if he give it to you immediately, you won't even know if you believe. you thought you did, and you said, oh, I got it, so I believe, but no, it's in the waiting. You know, you believe, then if I take 100 years, you're still going to be in that same position.
Because
look at us, 11 years ago, that global movement, write it down. Do you believe? I was on Faith Street. I got off on a side street on maybe. Stayed there for a while. Came back, asked God, went back on maybe. Then I just went on, well, I'm just going to leave it there, street. 9 years, God came back. 9 years. And said, hey, I need you to do this now. That did something for me, ladies. It just done something for me that I know now all the things that I've asked God for and was wondering and hoping and was, I know he heard me and I know he's going to do it and when. It just took the when out of me. I don't need to know when. I just know it's going to happen. And I just thank God that he's going to allow me to be here to see it happen because he's going to do it. His word will be fulfilled. So that means I'm going to be here if I'm 80. It's going to happen. I'm going to end the show today with this little story here that someone told me the other night. In fact, it was Van Miller, about this friend of hers. His daddy is 95 years old and lost his wife a couple of years ago. And he's moving around, doing well. And, you know, told her and said, you know, he told Van, he said, you know, I think I'm going to live on to 100. I'm just going to go on to 100. See, now, because he believed that, he's going to go to 100. But in the meantime, he went back and found his first girlfriend, and he has a relationship with his first girlfriend after his wife, and he said if he hadn't married his wife, that was who he was supposed to marry. He would have married her. And I said to Van, I said, Lord, 95 years old, she's 86, and I'm thinking, well, there's hope for me. You know what I mean? When you say, well, Lord, am I going to get another husband? I'm like, well, he's 95, she's 86. It's all about communication. It's all about comfort. It's you know, companionship. And both of them in their right mind, and both of them can talk about when they was young and it was, you know, dating years ago. That's far, they said it was about 40-some years ago, or 50-some years ago. I'm like, wow. Isn't that amazing? So anyway, God will come. He will show up. That's my point. He will show up. Because that man is now thinking about her. He was thinking about her all his life, you know?
Amen.
And she showed up. 40, 50, 60 years or whatever it is. It had to be a lot because you're talking about he's 95 and that was his first girlfriend. That was a lot of years. But he found her. And the good thing about it, he married.
And what I hear you say, Dr. Fletcher, when fear knocks on your door, send faith to answer it. And that's exactly what he did. He went and got his boo.
Yeah, got my boo. All right, ladies, it's been a pleasure. That's a good note for me, though. It's coming. All right.
Wait on it.
We are over time, but
it is
worth it.
Yep.
All right,
ladies.
Bye-bye, and God bless you guys.
Bye. Love you guys. Bye-bye, audience.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
All right, ladies, that's it. Deborah gone. See y'all later. Oh, they all gone. Bye-bye.